Welcome to the Expositor Podcast with Dr. Stephen J. Lawson. Dr. Lawson is the founder and president of One Passion Ministries. The Expositor Podcast is focused on taking your preaching to the next level. Now, here's Dr. Lawson.
In this session, I want to talk to you about how to apply the scripture that you are preaching. Application is critically important. And one aspect that separates teaching from preaching is this matter of application. Because our preaching, our goal is not information, our goal is transformation, the transformation of a person's life. And in order for that to take place, it is important for us as preachers to show the practical implications of this passage as well as the application of this passage to their daily life. When I was in seminary studying in my doctoral program, there was a professor that I had who said he would always sit, he said, "I'm going to come sit in the front row and listen to you guys preach one time." And he said, "About halfway into your sermon, I'm just going to hold up a placard from the front row that you can read, and it'll just have two words on it. It will say, 'So what?'" And that is just etched in my mind, that my sermon must get to the so what. So what do I expect the listener to do with this truth? This is very important. And so there are some questions that you can ask of a passage. These are not original with me, but I want to pass them on to you. Number one, are there examples to follow? Especially as we're looking at narrative passages. I know we're not to be moralistic in our preaching, but nevertheless, the New Testament in 1 Corinthians does say, chapter 10, these are here in the Old Testament for our example. So, is there an example for us to follow? What is the relevance of Daniel or Joseph or David in this particular situation for our Christian living? Second, are there commands to obey? The Bible contains imperatives. Teaching involves indicatives. Application involves imperatives. And what is the command that is given to the reader or the listener, in our case, the listener? For example, Ephesians 1 through 3 is written in indicatives, but chapters 4 through 6 contains imperatives. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands, etc. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. These are imperative verbs. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an imperative. That's a command. And so the application is built right into the imperative, and we are to preach them as such. Number three, are there errors to avoid? Is there false teaching that is being corrected and we must avoid this? Is this a negative example in someone's life and we're to avoid this error? It could be Peter denying the Lord. It could be Samson with his womanizing. It could be Judas with his utter rejection of the Lord. And then, number four, are there sins to forsake? In every passage, or virtually, not every single, but in many passages, there are sins that are addressed and we must avoid it. Or if it's put in the positive, then we can state it in the negative and say we are to avoid the negative, even if this passage puts it in the positive. And then number five, are there promises to claim? Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." That is a promise for us to claim. Number six, are there doctrines to trust? As I've already mentioned, every passage has doctrine, and we must put our faith and our confidence in the truth and the veracity of these doctrines. And then finally, number seven, are there principles to implement? And there are timeless principles that are found in Scripture that we must note in a particular text and then relate this to the listener. And sometimes, for example, in Proverbs, there are timeless principles. How you use your tongue will have a major effect upon your life and how others relate to you. How you use riches. There are timeless principles that are found in Proverbs, and they're not promises. Proverbs does not contain promises. It contains observations from which we draw implications and then make application. So those are seven questions that you should ask. And I'll add to that by way of conclusion, as you are making application, there are different layers. It should really begin with the heart. And so often in making application, the easiest is to go straight to the action. But we must remember that Christianity is a religion of the heart. And Jesus stressed that in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we must address the heart as we make applications. Where is your heart today? And then second, the action steps. To give some specific action steps to the listener to know how to live out the teaching of this passage. And then third, there can be needed confession as a part of our application, as showing people how they should repent and confess their sin in this. And God is ready and willing to forgive as we make application, as well as also great encouragement to strengthen people who sit under our preaching. So, it's been well said, we want to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable as we make our application. It's a two-edged sword. So as I stand to preach, there's always people in both categories. There are hurting people who need hope, who need to be lifted up. And our preaching should give them the encouragement that they need to go on in living their Christian life. But others to whom we preach are lukewarm. They're just stagnant in their Christian life, and they need a trumpet to be blown in their ear, a call to action. They need to be awakened from their spiritual slumber and aroused. And so it's the Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword, and it cuts both ways. And so we want to lift up the downcast, but we also want to be used to humble those who have exalted themselves. So think about your application as you apply the Word of God.